society, it's how it treats its women and girls. It's women and girls.
We create
the smart, powerful, creative, accomplished young women.
We can fight.
I'm here because of you. I'm here because girls like you inspire me.
Clutch your pearls and hide your children. It's another episode of Surly Voices here on WMNF Tampa 88.5. My name is Liz. I'm one of your hosts today. My co-host, Donna Davis, will be joining me in a few minutes. She is fresh back into town from her wild weekend, which you're going to love hearing about, but I'm going to save all that for her. Let me tell you about a new Facebook page that we have put up. It's called Surly Voices. It'll be much easier for a lot of y'all to find. On there, we will put links to the shows. We will put photographs. You know, we often reference our wild adventures, and so we will put photographs there. And if you look on the page this morning, you will see a picture of Donna riding a unicorn, and we will talk about that as soon as she gets here. Again, that's Surly Voices, the Facebook page, and we will have links to all the shows with the synopsis of the show that our volunteer Raina writes for us, and we are very grateful to her for that. The most burning thing on my mind first out of the gate is I was listening to Democracy Now! A few minutes ago, and the interview with David Miliband, and I thought to myself, man, he sounds so much like Hugh Grant. I'm a huge Hugh Grant fan. And so it was like, I got to see what he looks like. Does he look like Hugh Grant? Not really, but he really does sound very much like him. So that's just a random thought off the top of my head. So when Donna gets here, we are going to be talking about the Don't Say Gay bill passage, which is absolutely distressing and disheartening. And then we are also going to be talking about the anniversary of Bloody Sunday. And for those of you who don't know what Bloody Sunday is, I can give you a crash course. In Selma, Alabama, back in the 60s, on a bridge called the Edmund Pettus Bridge. And Edmund Pettus was a Confederate general, so that should tell you everything you need to know. There was a protest, and lots of people were injured, some killed. And so that, in a nutshell, small nutshell, is what Bloody Sunday is. And so there was a commemoration there this past weekend, and Donna and some other folks from Tampa, including City Councilman Luis Vieira and a bunch of other folks, were in Selma to commemorate the anniversary. So let's give you the phone numbers and the website and all that stuff so you can contact us. The phone number, if you want to call in and join any of the discussions that we have this morning, is 813-239-9663. You can email us at dj@wmnf.org, or you can text to 813-433-0885. And Amina, unfortunately, cannot join us today, so you're going to have to bear with me reading the texts and emails because, as always, I do not have my glasses. But we will struggle through it anyway, and hopefully Donna brings hers when she comes. So Anything that you guys want to talk about that have to do with the passage of the Don't Say Gay Bill or with the Bloody Sunday anniversary or any other thing that has to do, we're going to concentrate this morning on civil rights. And so the civil rights of the children of the state of Florida being infringed upon. Now that, you know, we can't talk about gay in the middle, in elementary schools anymore. And so you're seeing a lot of, signs and t-shirts and things like that, reaffirming to these children that it's okay to be gay. It's okay to say gay. I cannot imagine the kind of harm this is doing to the next generation of children in Florida, all children. I mean, because not only are you taking away validation that these children have that it's okay to be gay, you're also indoctrinating a whole new generation of children not to tolerate gay folks. And so why are we not progressing? Why are we regressing as a state? As taxpayers, all of us, doesn't matter which side of the aisle you're on, all of us should be concerned and outraged that the Florida legislature keeps putting through these horrific, unconstitutional bills and basically wasting taxpayer money when they could be fixing the streets and building high-speed rail and doing other things that will take us into the next 50 years. I mean, why are we going back 50 years? It doesn't even make sense. And I see Michelle is calling from Tampa, and she's calling to talk about the Don't Say Gay Bill. Hey, Michelle, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Just the mere name of these two bills, Don't Say Gay and Anti-Woke Bill as well, like just the names in itself are racist and very prejudiced and hateful. The fact that we have a governor who thinks it's okay to promote such things as anti-woke or anti-gay is just absurd. And I feel like ever since Trump was in office, he totally opened the door for all of these racist cockroaches to come out from behind the walls. And now it's okay to be racist and prejudiced against other people and other people's rights. And that just goes to show, just by the names alone, people are okay. This is a legislature going through our government, anti-woke and anti-gay bill, Don't Say Gay. How are we tolerating this? Like, I have no idea how, as a society, we're even tolerating the names of these bills, much less what they stand for.
Exactly.
And I just don't get it. Like, we have gone so far backwards. I was so happy when I thought we were getting somewhere with the LGBTQ plus community and their rights and marriage and everything else. And it's just like all of that, in my opinion, is just in the toilet. And well, now we're having to work even harder to just have basic rights for human beings. I don't get it.
Right. And I'm right there with you, Michelle. I said last week, it's DeSantis and his ilk, quote unquote, owning the libs at the expense of the taxpayers and citizens of Florida. And that's all it is. It's all about, because these bills are not going to stand up to constitutional scrutiny. And so why are you spending the time and effort? There are bills that deserve to be heard that won't be because these ridiculous things took their place.
Exactly.
And yeah. And so I am, yeah, I am right there with you.
I, in my household, and I have been, and I always will combat these types of things that society is accepting. I tell my son, you know, whoever your partner is, I don't put my expectations on him as if I expect him to be heterosexual or have a girlfriend. I say, you know, he's 11 years old. I say, your partner in life. I'm not afraid to say gay in my household, and anybody that I hang out with should not be afraid to say gay either, because then you will not be my friend. because I am combating the message that this governor is putting out of hate with my household. It starts there, and I hope that other people will also combat this nasty message from this governor and this state in their own households. Say gay in your household. Talk about sex. Talk about gender. Talk about everything. Because you know what? If you're not doing it, your kids are seeing it on YouTube or their friends or whatever.
Right.
So you got to do it in your own home. Screw what this governor is trying to do.
Yes. Thank you so much for calling this morning, Michelle. Okay. Let you go. Bye-bye. All right. Let's see. I have an email from David. Hi, ladies. What do you think about the Disney CEO going to meet DeSantis to discuss the Don't Say Gay bill? Disney might have enough power to get him to veto the law. They certainly have enough money. And what's all that wrong DeSantis? And that's all that wrong DeSantis. Wrong DeSantis. That's a good one. Yes, I like
right,
that.
I like it.
Yeah. Wrong DeSantis gives a bleep about. I heard someone say on WMNF recently that DeSantis doesn't have the temperament to be president, and he might just be a flash in the political pan, kind of like Scott Walker. I'm praying that comes true. David, I think, yes, all the CEOs that do any business. I mean, it's like, I remember what happened in Georgia a while back, and it was absolutely scandalous, and every major movie studio, everybody just pulled on out of Georgia, and things got better there. I can't remember what the there are so many things now, it's like you lose track, you know? Welcome, Donna.
Hey. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
All right, wonderful.
Oh, yes, and I've already primed the folks to listen up for the stories. So, I think why isn't Disney and why aren't all the Hollywood studios raising 10 kinds of hell about what DeSantis and his ilk are doing to our state, turning it into a cesspool of Trump supporters?
So what Disney did was they gave money to just about every single person that voted for this bill, the Don't Say Gay bill. Now the CEO or the COO is asking for a meeting, has a meeting with DeSantis to discuss how not to weaponize the legislation. And Disney comes in, they give the money to these people to embolden them,
yeah,
right? And to sustain them. And then they come in at the end and then they wage a last minute effort. Oh no, don't stop.
Yeah, right? Too late. Horses out of the barn.
And then make this big to-do and highly visible, right? Made sure they got the media, the earned media on this, saying that, you know, we do have, like, pride at Disney. And, like, we have an event for LGBTQ customers once a year. I mean, you all know about that, right? So I'm going to go in and talk to DeSantis and try to stop him from, you know, he has a strong stance, and try to stop him from weaponizing this bill against people and harming kids. Dude, the sun comes up the same place and sets in the same direction every day.
You knew
this was coming down the line and that it was going to hurt Floridians. You have made your fortune and your fame in this state, and you stand for it. When Lauren Hook tried to get her father's big deal, right? So she was a state senator, and she was trying to get legislation passed to make these people check these hotel rooms daily to stop trafficking in Florida hotels. Disney shut it down. So they don't have a good history of riding with the people. They have a good history, and they're raising prices. They're taking away.
They're capitalists, Donna. If they weren't, yeah.
So you know what?
They ain't giving free admission to Disney.
But I only answered the question you asked. Where were they? Right?
True. Yes. Okay? Yes.
They were being capitalist.
Right, exactly. And so, yeah, now you can't go back around to these folks and say, oh, well, no, we didn't mean that. No, you shouldn't have given money. It's like the old story with the frog and the alligator. I mean, alligators are always going to be alligators.
You know, people speak their native tongue when they get upset. So I'm going to tell y'all in the African-American vernacular English. Ain't nobody got time for this, okay? If we want to win when someone said, oh, we should get an island, like, ha, ha, ha.
Ha, ha.
You know,
yeah.
We should get an island and we should protect trans people and gay people and have it be only for this population. And I said, you know what? I know a lot of people have thought about this, but we could just organize our way out of it. We could just organize. We could get out
yeah.
the vote. We could go out to Marion County where people think they understand and help them understand. This gas, I'm sure, is helping them understand.
Well, no, because they're blaming it all on Biden.
Well, hold on. Gas is helping them. These rents are going to help them understand capitalism.
Yeah.
Right? They're going to understand capitalism. When Powell raises the federal interest rates and their soaring property tax, soaring property values stop soaring, but those cost of a pound of hamburger keeps going up, and you can't buy a used car because the neon that you need to make a computer chip, a lot of it comes from the Ukraine.
Ah.
Like, this thing has so many layers to it. I've been reading. I rode a bus to Selma for a Bloody Sunday and to take some soil. I'll tell y'all about that in a whole other show. Take soil.
Wait, well, you have to tell them a little bit about it because I did preface it with a very small nutshell of Bloody Sunday.
All right. Then I'll go back to the beginning. I got invited to go the Portico and UM. And the Justice Project decided that they wanted to participate in the challenge or the quest to take soil from the site of lynchings in counties throughout the country and deliver that county to a catalog that's housed in the Legacy Museum in Montgomery, Alabama. This museum will blow your mind. Now, you can go to Montgomery if you want, because that's about the only things in Montgomery. Okay? You can go over to Selma, and you can see the bridge, just the bridge, and the dilapidated buildings at the foot of the bridge, because those folks are still being punished for Bloody Sunday. It was what it looked like to me, because I don't know why that area hadn't been developed. It's a huge tourist attraction. It's a part of civil rights history, and there's just like a bunch of like 1950s stores that are not being used at the foot of the bridge. Anyway.
We know why.
Right. And then there's like the old Rexall, you know, town street, like Rexall Drugs on the other side. But we took this soil to this museum and they received us. We had a little bit of a ceremony outside where someone locally from the A. Brown Ministries, because the name of the museum is the Legacy Museum from Slavery to Mass Incarceration.
Mm.
And so because A. Brown Ministries does the work to help men who are incarcerated and women reenter society in a productive way that doesn't make people, you know, it's crazy making when you can't come back and that you can't put that part of your life behind you. So these people do that work. Councilman Luis Feliz Vieira was there. Of course, he took the pilgrimage on the bus with us and I think his daughter and a lot of people from UM. And it was a somber occasion, right? And we tried to approach it with the solemnity and the sobriety that the occasion required, right? This is like this museum is more like a tomb. So you go into the museum and there's like in this watery colors, it looks like, and they're casting this light on it that makes it look like it's water. But there are all these heads of African people because the statistics are on this electric display and it shows you in 1808 at the start of the Atlantic slave trade, and there's a ticker and it's going up and it shows you how many slaves were in the United States at this year. And then it shows you the state pops up. And then the state ticker starts going, and it shows you how many slaves were in that state. Virginia, Richmond, they did the best. Columbia, South Carolina, New York were the three states that I recall as having the most slaves.
Wow.
Right. And Missouri. Missouri was a slave state. I don't know a lot of people know that, but it was. Big deal slave state. Lots of problems still today from that. And 2 million Africans made it to the bottom of the sea because they either died en route or they chose to leap without to not live that life, right? And for all of those of you who were triggered by, had your mentals assaulted by the thought of that guy in that cave. Remember that kid in the cave?
Yeah.
In Utah, Nutty Putty Cave?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was like for Africans packed like sardines in the holes of those ships. Everybody got Nutty Putty Cave, but people don't get what a misery, what a horror it was to be brought like you're packed literally in your own waste.
Ugh.
Okay?
For months and months and
for
months.
For months and months and months. And so 2 million people didn't survive that.
Gosh.
That's a nation.
Yeah.
That's more than the population of Tampa Bay, almost twice the population of Tampa Bay. Okay? And so I thought when I was coming over, I don't know if I can do this. Okay? And so I just was checking out the exhibit and I came across what looked like little narrow closet cages. They had bars in the front. They weren't real, of course, right? And inside, there are the holograms of people who have been, are about to be sold. Right? These little closet cages. And then I looked in one and I said, gosh, he looks like my son. And he said, girl, you ain't ready for this. Mama, is that you?
Oh, my God.
And he was standing next to his sister. And she was just like a little girl, like 4 years old. She didn't know what was going on, right? And he said, and he leaned forward and he saw, like, you know, like the hologram that I'm not his mother. And he says, have you seen my mama?
Oh, God. That's, oh, my God.
It was just too much. And a lot of people said that was put the kibosh on the fun festivities for them.
Yeah.
I said, where's the exit?
Right.
Because this is an ongoing crime. You know, the lynching and the enslavement of human lives from the mill where the Irish immigrants came. And they literally call the people who ran the mills master. That's on BBC right now. You can get it through Amazon Prime. And the conditions, the raping, the they lived in the houses that they had to stay in together. The most horrible conditions you can imagine. Capitalism has created all different types of slavery, some of which persist to this day. Living on a subsistence and not getting a good education and having opportunities. Mass incarceration, those are all forms of slavery that have been endured by humans and the descendants of humans in this nation since its inception.
Oh, my gosh, Donna.
Okay. And so that happened. And then it got worse. We went over to the museum, the Memorial Museum. Hanging from the ceiling, there are these squares. And underneath these squares are these little wooden kind of boxes. And they indicate the hanging of each person. Now, we knew that was there because Oprah went out there and she did this whole thing. However, there was, at the other side, there was a little thing that showed you every name and the reason they were hanged.
Mm.
I asked the people at the museum, do people break down in here? He said, I'm going to tell you what we don't tell the public. 3 times a year, an older black woman comes here and she is enjoying the museum with her family until she sees her brother's name on one of these memorials or her father or a cousin that just disappeared in the 40s. And there's the name, there's the county, there's the year. And she knows. And the whole place is disrupted. All the people in there, black, white, the workers, everybody falls apart because the whispers, realizing what has happened. Oh, she just found her brother's name. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They can't keep young people working in there because too many breakdowns, too often, too emotional. And we're crying now, right? Too emotional. And the worst one he showed us was hanged for annoying a white woman. Okay? This person was hanged because they refused to do a job for a white man. This pregnant woman was hanged, and this was what the guy in the museum says. We said, we have the pictures, and we can't show them to the public. They cut out her baby and hanged her baby next to her.
Oh, my God!
So when this country starts talking, I mean, I know. He said, yeah. It was, they can't show it to the public. This museum felt more like a tomb. And knowing that Sandra Bland died alone in her cell of God knows how, and that George Floyd died calling for his mama, and that Eric Garner was literally crushed to death. You know, people die saying, please don't kill me. Please don't make me hush. People literally die saying this.
Right.
So this is an ongoing crime in America. All right.
I mean, Sandra Bland for what? A taillight being out or some nonsense?
And really, she turned him up. He turned a cop up because she wouldn't put her cigarette out. He dragged her out of the car, and then she never was seen again by her family again. So,
quote unquote, hung herself.
But last night, while you were sleeping, my friends, the United States voted to take out COVID protections out of this massive sprawling package and put in money for the Ukraine. So while you suffer at home, we protect those abroad. And I get the global geopolitical stance the U.S. is taking here, right? But people are dying here because of COVID still. It's not a news story anymore, but it's still happening, just like lynching and slavery. And the United States is prioritizing people across the world. There was no aid went to Palestine. Those people were dying.
Well, and we can talk about the colorism component of this whole thing on a different show.
Okay.
Today we're talking about civil rights.
Okay.
And so civil rights in Montgomery, after that horrific experience, did you have any kind of light moments?
No, because it got worse. After that museum, I then had my unicorn costume in tow. So I headed down. I came home.
Can we mention wait, before you get to Tallahassee, we're still in Montgomery.
Okay.
Did you encounter any
Luminaries? Okay, yes. So when we came back from Selma that night, I mean, this was a jam-packed came back from Selma that night, and Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton were in the lobby. And I went to the bar. I was just going to have a drink, right? And the guy next to me was like one of his people from PUSH, Rainbow Coalition PUSH. And then some of Al Sharpton's people came over, and we spent the night sitting up talking. I did take pictures with the reverends.
Did you spend actually much time with the reverends, or was it more with their people?
More with their people.
Yeah.
But the Reverend Jesse Jackson, you know, he has Parkinson's now. He got upset because they told him that he needed to go to bed. He got so mad, he stood up, but he couldn't keep his balance. So they were holding his two hands, and he was shaking. And he said the man that was supposed to be taking care of him couldn't take care of himself. And he lost that battle, and he had to go to bed.
Aw.
Because he was supposed to do something the next day. Reverend Al Sharpton, I know, taught at Brown's Chapel, the AME chapel there. And so we stayed up so late, they actually moved his sermon down. Because his people were downstairs talking about the world's problems.
Like, you need to go to bed too, Ral.
Yeah, I'm sorry for that. And then when they closed that bar, went across the street to the other bar. And, you know, it felt a little bit like New Orleans. Like, it didn't stop. It didn't end.
Yeah.
And also across the street, our own Diane Hart, probably a couple of our other local legislators, and one actually rode on the bus with us to Montgomery, were at the National Meeting of Black Women Legislators.
Ah.
They had that in the Renaissance right across the street, about 600 feet away. So that's where Rep Hart and other people that you guys would probably know, like Whitfield, those people that are local in Florida, were all there because it was state and federal, right? And maybe even some locals, municipal. So that happened. And then we went back and we left the next morning. And I came back to Tampa, and then I repacked my things because my sister's traveling with me. And we went back to Tallahassee, picked up my unicorns.
Okay, before we get to the unicorns, because I did put the picture of it, of you in the unicorn suit, up on the Surly Voices, the new Surly Voices page. So some of our folks might have even seen it.
Yeah.
But let's catch up on some of these emails before we do that.
Okay.
Let's see. All right, Charles says, Michelle hit the nail on the head. This is all about progress that the LGBTQ plus community has made. This is a reactionary, protective behavior from the people who believe to the core of their being that everyone else should be forced to live the same way they choose to live. Same thing with women who choose to exercise their reproductive rights and people who choose to vote for anyone other than Republicans. Thank you very much. Let's see. Do you have your glasses today, Donna?
I do.
Oh, good. Yeah. So you can read these. Y'all can't see it, but the screen is about 3 feet away, and it just does not get do well with the astigmatisms unless you have your glasses on.
So you want me to go?
Yes.
Okay. So David Bryant says, "Hi, ladies. What do you think about the Disney CEO?"
Oh, I read that one already. Sorry.
Okay. So where are we?
It should be the next one up.
Okay. Then that would be from Charles. Okay, you read that one, Michelle.
All right. So and then the next one up.
Disney backs all the Republicans who sponsored those bills. Yep, I said that earlier. They provided financial backing to every single one of them, and then came back later and said, "This is terrible. Let me go talk to the governor and make sure that he doesn't get out of pocket with this." Someone said it's rainbow washing. I'm not sure.
What does that mean?
So I'm just gonna keep going. Thank you for your time, though. Then there is this. DeSantis wants to make it clear, he's a bully and wants women and people of color to be second-class citizens and just do what they're told. Watch 45 run for president in 24, and DeSantis will be VP. I can't think of anything more horrible to say on a Thursday morning.
Yeah, really.
The problem is old white guys are dying off. They're fearful of women and people of color taking their power away. It's pretty pitiful. My name is Billy, and I'm in Lakeland, Florida. And that saying anything horrible, that was my edit to that. That wasn't Billy's words, okay? Thank you, Billy. And I think that you may be right. Something's brewing on the Trump-DeSantis side for...
They're kind of beefing a bit because, yeah.
I told my sister they were going to beef over it.
Yeah.
Because there can only be one. And
right.
They are two of the same stripe.
Yeah.
We're going to find out. Then we have the answer is vote, vote, vote. And I want to stop right there on the scenic route here and say.
Yeah, that ain't the answer.
We could just organize our way out of it, right? But we have an election integrity problem. We need to make sure that these elections are fair because people came out to vote in Atlanta and Stacey Abrams did not win because it was not, as her organization's title is, a fair fight.
Right. Because the dude running the election was the one that won.
Yes.
Go figure.
Right. And so that's not fair. That's not fair play. And then we've got, with all due respect, the people voted these bastards in. I like that. They say that in New York. That's a Brooklyn thing. Bastard. And the people are just getting what they wanted, even if they will not admit it. And there is like those deeper truths that we skip over frequently.
Yeah.
But there are people who say that Trump is gross and they voted.
They voted for him. Yeah. Because it's in their financial interests.
Yeah. It's in their financial interests.
Or any interests, really.
Right.
Yeah.
So we don't really know. Jeff says, as I understand it, you cannot say gay in the classroom from kindergarten to third grade. What is the policy after third grade? Let's say a young child had same-sex parents and the parents came to school. Or those same-sex parents came up in some kind of classroom discussion and a student asked about it. How would it be dealt with? Overall, I don't think children have to be taught about sexuality at a very young age, but they have to learn how to respect all kinds of people, regardless of race, religion, or basically any other characteristic.
Right. But, I mean, the bill is not designed to not teach about sex of any sort, because God knows they don't teach about sex in schools, which is, you know, a whole nother story. But it's, you know, you can't even reference the fact that, you know, my two dads... And, well, how do you have two dads? Well, we can't talk about it.
Because we can't say that they're gay.
Right, right. Can't talk about it.
All right. So John Bolton noted that Trump, this is from Bubba, John Bolton noted that Trump did Putin's dirty work for him, such as weakening NATO and threatening to pull USA from NATO. Of all the terrible things Trump did, this was the most unforgivable. Thank you, Bubba.
There was a lot of unforgivable things. I mean, I'd be hard pressed to pick just one.
And can we say something? Can I say something about that?
Sure.
Going back to DeSantis not having the temperament for to be president, I thought we dispensed with that when we tolerated Trump.
There's no bar for that anymore.
No bar. It's gone.
Yeah. Let's talk to Alfredo in Lakeland. Hi, Alfredo.
My name is Alfredo Anthony Gomar Jr. It's also Picasso, Fettuccine Alfredo, and Menelik Hannibal, amongst other names.
Wild.
I support Black Lives Matter. I support DACA. I support Native American rights. And I support some, I've supported in the past some two schools, St. Joseph's and St. Labre of North and South Dakota, and a little bit in St. Bonaventure in California, and the Southwest Indian Foundation, Indian Foundation. I have a sore point, though. Ulysses S. Grant and General Lee, Robert E. Lee, both went through West Point. They shouldn't have taken down Robert E. Lee's statue. Okay, if they didn't want Stonewall Jackson, all right, that's fine. The hell with it. He was a guerrilla fighter. Okay, but like Charlie Daniels said, the American flag. They say the American flag is going low. They say the Statue of Liberty doesn't mean anything anymore. He said, hippies and cowboys, rebels and Yanks should be together. We should be together to fight. He sang that in the song. And these people are not listening to that. That song should be played over and over and over again.
Well, I'm not going to advocate Charlie Daniels being played 24/7 on loop for
anything. Well, not 24/7, but you know, it should be played. That song should be played.
All right. Thanks so much.
Unity.
Yeah.
God bless you.
Thank you.
I have a question for you.
Oh, wait. Donna has a question before you go, Alfredo.
Alfredo, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Why should we not have taken down the statue of Lee?
Look, they even defaced Jose Martí's statue. Jose Martí was the revolutionary of Cuba. Now, it's true that the Cuban revolutionaries didn't want to get rid of slavery, but I don't think Jose Martí was like that.
Wait. Let's get back to Robert E. Lee. Why do you think...
Because Robert E. Lee represents something to the Southern people, okay?
Robert E. Lee was a traitor to the United States, though, Alfredo.
Yes. But he went to West Point with Ulysses S. Grant. You've got to give some respect.
No, I don't. Because Robert E. Lee had the opportunity to be the general that led the Union Army, and he passed and went to the Confederate side.
Well, what can I say?
Okay, here I have something for you.
We have to promote some kind of unity here.
Okay, here's that.
And that was 200 years ago.
Okay, I have something for you.
Play Charlie Daniels' song. That was not 200 years ago.
All right, I got something for you. The myth of Lee goes from the Atlantic, goes something like this. He was a brilliant strategist and devoted Christian man who abhorred slavery and labored tirelessly after the war to bring the country back together. There is little truth in this. Lee was a devout Christian, and historians regard him as an accomplished tactician. But despite his ability to win individual battles, his decision to fight a conventional war against the more densely populated and industrialized North is considered to have been a fatal strategic error. Right?
Yeah.
And he defended the South's authority to own millions of human beings as property because they are black. And his elevation is a key part of a 150-year-old propaganda campaign designed to erase slavery as the cause of the war.
I was upset too by all these lynchings, these 400 years, or 500 years, or 700 years of oppression. I'm upset too about that. Okay? Mm-hmm. But at least Jose Martí was a revolutionary from the Caribbean.
Yeah, but we're talking about the United States here.
Well, okay, I'll concede your point.
Okay.
Forget Robert E. Lee.
So we're going to leave the New Orleans statue of Lee alone.
Yeah, we're going to take, we're taking all the statues of Robert Lee down, so.
Yeah, forget him. Okay. Forget him.
He's a traitor, treasonist.
Yeah.
And someone who defended slavery.
See, the Union had a chance to do something during the Reconstruction era, that gave the South back to the South, to the Southerners. They lost. Why give them back?
Because they saw the economic benefit.
Right, exactly. It's all about money. It's always about money, Alfredo.
They couldn't break the South because to break the South would break the nation.
Thank you for calling, though, and giving us all the excitement for the morning, because that was we needed to have a little bit of a break from the somberness the Montgomery. All right, now let's talk about the unicorns.
But let me say this, Alfredo, if you're still listening, when you call us back, when we're going to let you talk when you're talking, but you have to let us talk when we're talking. Okay, and it makes a better show for the listeners. Okay.
All right. So unicorns.
Unicorns. So now I'm back in Tampa. I repack my bags. 3 o'clock in the morning, I sojourn up to Tallahassee for a press conference in the morning with the youth-led group, okay? And it was horrible because we knew this bill was going to pass.
Yeah.
And we told people to, you know, wear pride wear, so there was glitter and there was... I was in a unicorn costume. Looks like I was riding. I had
it
a blow up.
It was so cute. Oh, my gosh. That was the cutest costume.
And I saw all of my peoples from throughout the state. We raised a couple thousand dollars, of which Liz gave us about a lot. And a lot in the 24 hours leading up to it. Liz gave us a lot. And that was incredible. And it allowed us to reach our goal in 9 hours of the $2,000. And we used that money to take some kids up to, and some local leaders up to Tallahassee. Because the kids needed to see that there were people from their schools, from their counties, that supported them. And even though we understand that there was little chance that this bill wasn't going to go up, we wanted to let the rest of the world that was watching. We knew that national news organizations were going to be there. My sister was on a call in the car yesterday on the way back with a diversity, equity, inclusion group that she's in, and they were talking extensively about what's happening in Florida, and it's on everybody's lips. And so we knew the world was watching, and just like when Trump came here and we went down there, we went to Tallahassee to show the world that there are many people in this state that are just not okay with the erosion of anyone's civil liberties and right to exist, right, and that erasure of that. And so whether it's black people, whether it's trans and gay people, whether it's trans and gay people, no matter who it is, as Floridians, we have to be present and in the room, and we have to express our disdain and our support of the people that are being targeted by this legislation, and that's why we went.
And, yeah, some of the photographs and video are just so heartwarming. Mm-hmm. When Representative Driscoll was coming down the aisle of the kids dancing, and don't say gay, don't say gay, we say gay, we say gay. That was just so heartwarming to me.
You know what, Liz? I thought when I was two days before Friday, we were in the Capitol. We stopped on the way up, and Frances Driscoll came down, and they are so alone up there. They were waving at us in the gallery, you know.
Oh.
Rep Rainer came out. She's like, Donna.
Yeah.
She's texting me. She saw me posting it on Facebook. She texted me, are you in the Capitol? Because they just are alone up there.
Right.
It's like a bunch of white guys in expensive suits on their phones while they're literally begging to protect Florida's teachers.
Right.
It was so sad. And they recognized the mission, our pilgrimage, on the floor. It was committed to record. And Frances Driscoll came out, received us, took selfies with us. We went back down to the floor, went up into the gallery. They read what we were doing and who we were and why we were taking this pilgrimage, and they recognized us from the floor. And surprisingly, we got a lot of applause from people who were actually raking teachers and gay people and black people over the coals.
Oh, wow.
What? So, and they're down there pleading with them to stand up for teachers. And then we're back there 24 hours, 48 hours later, fighting for gay people. And then on Wednesday, the woke bill went up. So it's like everybody can get some, was Ron DeSantis and the red Florida state legislature is concerned.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I told the people in Vermont, y'all don't think this can't happen. You better watch your outlying areas, your rural and semi-rural areas, all those little farm table restaurants. Watch that, because people are out there alone, mm-hmm. and they're in a homogenous community where no one's gay and no one's black and nobody speaks another language, and they're taking their own counsel and looking at QAnon and watching YouTube videos. There's a creep to this that took Florida from being blue back to being red. Right?
Yeah.
And it's holding us in this space. And it's happened in Missouri, where 2/3 of the state house is red. Like, we're losing on a lot of fronts. So I think that instead of being self-righteous, like a lot of us who are super voters are, we need to be talking to those people who are saying strange things, like saying little homophobic stuff, little racist stuff. If those people are talking to you about it, that's an opportunity for you to talk to them and say, what are gay people doing to you? What does it matter if someone
identifies?
Why do you care? What's really bothering you? Let them get it out. Like, let's figure out where are people in proximity to us who understand that people need to be free. Let's start talking to those people, because we are losing, y'all.
Well, and let's not pretend that gay people haven't been around forever.
Beginning of time.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like, I can, even when I was a child,
right,
I knew that the florist in my town was not a ladies' man.
And okay? All our choir directors in the black church.
Choir directors, yeah. the two old ladies living together and yeah. not related, but
never
you
married,
know,
never had kids.
Yeah, never married, never had kids. I mean, you always knew that they were there and they were part of society.
Just teaching kids in schools.
Yeah.
The teacher that was gay, she was your favorite teacher.
Right.
And she was gay. And guess what? Being gay didn't interfere with her your ability to love her.
Right. Or to learn.
Jeez.
Yeah. It's like, I don't, I just.
The black kid that you were forbidden to play with, but it was your favorite person
right.
on the planet besides your parents.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not like these people haven't always existed and we haven't always
loved them and
loved
live with them.
And live with them and taken showers with them. Oh my God.
And nothing happened.
Yeah.
You're here. You're whole. You don't have any traumatic stories to tell about your friendship with the black kid. You don't have any traumatic stories to tell about when your friend told you, hey, I think I might like girls or guys. Like, nothing happened.
No.
Or someone said, I don't feel like a man. I don't feel like a woman or a boy or girl. Like, they were still that same person.
Yeah.
Like, it's just humanity, guys. There's nothing to be afraid of.
But I see this ignorance and this non-tolerance even in my own family.
Yeah.
A beloved cousin who was beloved by all the cousins.
Mm-mm-mm.
She came out as gay 20, 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And there is a segment of the family that will not speak to her.
Okay, so we got gay people in our family, and they never came out. As a matter of fact, they got very sick. One of them died before she reached 50, right? Ovarian cancer. And the other one is just sickly. Like, it kills you to not be able to be yourself.
Right.
It hurts.
It hurts. And it's like, if you can't accept your family member, what does that say about you? For something that has absolutely zero effect on you.
None.
Yeah. Why?
They still know? Bring in the potato salad and it's still good.
Yeah.
Right?
As good and as it don't was have raisins in it either.
Last 10 Thanksgivings is still as good. Right? And now we don't talk to this cousin.
Right.
Now people, it means you missed something. And like, what you miss something about what we are. There's something fundamental about humanity and how we're set up that you're missing. You can love someone that is gay because it has nothing to do with you, and it doesn't change how they engage you.
Right.
It's not your business.
Right.
But you need to do some work to understand that this is a human being, and they're entitled to all the civil liberties, Ron DeSantis, and the blessings of liberty, and to have family and to be loved and to belong. We're doing something wrong if we're not doing that.
And it's almost, well, it's like, okay, we know these things and these differences have always existed. But I think, going back to our first caller, Michelle,
yes.
I think she's right in that the Trump fiasco gave voice to all these people on the fringes who are like, no, I'm never talking to my cousin that I grew up with for the rest of my life because she sleeps with a woman at night.
I don't think it's fair. I think that
Okay, so here's what I think. I think these people have always been there secretly harboring their disdain, but because times changed and it became the mark of a nasty or ignorant person to mm-hmm. speak these things out loud, and then Trump coming along has brought those people back to right. the fore, and I don't believe that they're on the fringes. I think half of the state, half is not a fringe. Half of the people in this True. Country elected. We have to stop saying it, right? I just want to yes. make sure that we make sure that we're getting it right. It's not a fringe. It's dangerous, right? It's horrible. And it's not going to take us anywhere we would like to go as a society. When I drive through places like South Carolina, parts of Virginia, those cities and towns died because they were so bent on keeping certain types of people out. So they stopped being robust and they stopped being happy because they weren't inviting and they weren't open and they don't have culture because they wanted it to be homogenous. And it is. And so it became poor. And so it literally strangled the place. The robustness of a culture comes from people bringing all of their colorfulness
right.
and their self and their individuality into a space. It's what makes New York what it is. It's what makes New Orleans what it is. It's what makes L.A. what it is. Venice Beach. Those places become like that because everybody gets to be who they are in those spaces. And exceptions. People don't call us and say, that's not true because I got racism. I had no racism in New York. I lived there for 6 years. And this is something that we need to talk a little bit about. When something makes you uncomfortable, imagine if you were a part of that marginalized group.
Right.
Because when people thought I was gay in that Capitol and black, and I didn't do anything to say I wasn't gay or I'm straight, because it's pointless, right?
Right.
It means that you're a bigot. So mm-hmm. I'm not going to explain to you what my identity. Are you gay, Donna? Why are you worried about it?
Yeah.
Okay. And the disgust on this AIDS face in a Democrat, whom I will not name, their aide looked at me with utter disgust when he saw me in that unicorn outfit and I told him I was downstairs working. The cop got on the elevator and saw my sister's Black Lives Matter Tampa t-shirt and scowled at her and snickered. So these people are out, honey. Racists are out too.
Yeah.
They open.
We know, yeah, yeah.
Homophobes are out.
You're giving me PTSD for New Orleans Ooh, with the cop in the bar.
I got my arms up in the air, y'all. It was wild. But civil rights are going out of style. And we need to stand up and start talking to our neighbors, friends, coworkers, people that show signs of being one of them.
One of them, yeah. Well, and it's unbelievable to me how quickly things flipped.
Yes.
All it took was one power-hungry... I'm trying to think of non-7-word adjectives to use for this guy.
Jingoistic despot.
Jingoistic despot.
I got you right now. Calling people places, countries, you know what I mean?
All it took was one guy like that to take the helm for 4 years and talk trash 24/7 to make it socially acceptable for people to be bigots and racists and homophobes. And so that happened in the space of 4 years.
Unbelievable stuff.
And thank God he didn't get elected again. I don't credit Biden for that for any reason, okay? Because most people would have voted for a dead skunk in the road before they would have voted for Trump again.
So now I think next week we ought to talk about inflation. And gas.
Yes.
And housing, the Federal Reserve raising interest rates. And we're going to try to bring someone in who's an economist locally and have them explain to you where we are and where we're going.
Yes. I think that's a fabulous idea because I am sick and tired of seeing all the memes and things about Joe Biden. I am no fan of Joe Biden, as everybody knows. But yeah, he didn't do this. But anyway, we need to wrap it up. You got the last word because we're talking about civil rights.
I think that, remember, civil rights aren't just about black folks, right? Like people think that we own the term. We don't. Civil rights, white people have civil rights. Gay people have civil rights. And we gotta rein this thing in, guys. We need to talk to your friends. Talk to your family, coworkers.
Thank you for joining us. We will be back next week at 10 a.m.
stunning. I like shining. I like $1 million deals. Where's my pen? I'm signing. I like those Balenciagas, the ones that